Very familiar thoughts this morning. We're going to go to 2 Peter, the first chapter. Most of you probably know this by heart, but 2 Peter chapter 1, while you're turning, I'll pray. Heavenly Father, we count it a privilege to come into your house. We thank you for your goodness. You've truly been very, very good to us. I thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of life you've given us. But most of all, I thank you that you ever saw fit to speak to our heart, to bring us into this great salvation, to help us, Lord, to come to know you. And I'm thankful for that. I pray this morning that you'll anoint our speaking, that it would be to the benefit of the hearers. Anoint the hearers by your Holy Spirit, that they might hear and understand not just the words, but your word this morning, I pray. Help us together, I ask, in Jesus' name, and amen. Even before we got into these 2020 excitement, I mentioned often we're in a time of apostasy, because we've been in a time of apostasy for many years. Caleb had showed me something the other day on a t-shirt that I longed for precedented times, because of what they were before what we got now. But even then, and especially now, I think it's important that we keep perspective to be alert for the dangers we face. Many, many Christians today, professed Christians, are not spiritually healthy. They are not. Some are living the effects of bad theology and bad doctrine that results in problems. Others have been affected by the evil society around us. With this COVID-19 and all the shutdowns and everything that's happened, I see reports that a lot of people are having struggles with their physical health. You know, their routines have been changed, they're home, everybody's got their COVID-15 they put on while they've been home, and not getting enough exercise, not out enough. Well, I tell you what, spiritually, many people have got out of shape as well this year. They've been preoccupied with things that relate to this world only, preoccupied. And I tell you what, there's some serious stuff going on in the political world, in the medical world. There is some serious stuff going on. I'm not diminishing that. But we need not get so focused on that that we forget our spiritual life, because that has, in spite of how important these other things are, our spiritual life is far, far more important. Because these things have an end. Good or bad, they're going to have an end. This is coming to an end one way or the other, right? And if it don't come to an end for the whole society around me, it's going to come to an end for me, and it's going to come to an end for you, right? But our existence doesn't. And maintaining our spiritual life is vitally important. But I've also been made aware, more aware, what our society, what our country needs, what our churches need is true revival. True revival is people being awakened to the things of God in a proper way. The only thing, listen to me, I'm going to say this every service so I have to, the only thing that will change what's going on in our society is a move of God. Evil doesn't get better on its own. Evil doesn't get better by human intervention. Amen? Apart from God, it continues a down spiral. The most important thing, the thing we really need beyond everything else, is a real awakening to God and the things of God. That being said, an awakening, at least through all of history, has come through people. It has come by people responding to God, by people who know God responding to God, and then spreading the gospel to those around them. God didn't speak from the sky. He doesn't come out with a bullhorn or something and just broadcast it. He doesn't have his own radio or TV show that he comes on to broadcast it. He works through you and me. So it's vitally important that we be what we ought to be, that we be vessels that can be used, that we be examples of what salvation can do for people. Amen? Yes. And the sad thing, the thing that disturbs me the most, I see people being awakened. In fact, the majority of Christians, better than half of Christians, say the COVID and what's happening right now is a move of God to awaken us. And yet, by every standard, we're not being awakened, really. Some are, thankfully, but I mean on a larger scale. For that reason, we're going to go back to a very familiar scripture this morning, because it begins individually with you and I. Spiritual awakening begins with you and I. If we're not spiritually healthy, we need to give effort. You know, I'm at a stage of life, probably I was at a stage of life 15 years ago, that if you don't give attention to your health, you will not enjoy a good coast to the end of life. The road gets much bumpier if you don't maintain your health, right? You're dealing with a lot more issues, dealing with a lot more things. Spiritually, it's the same way. We desperately need to regain our health spiritually so that we can be a help to those around us. 2 Peter 1:5, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This passage begins by saying, besides this, give all diligence to add to your faith. Faith's the foundation. Faith is the beginning point of true religion. You can't add good works. You can't add just doing things. You can't add that without having the foundation of faith. Faith is the foundation on which all these other graces and virtues are built. Amen? Faith is a believing, loving trust in God, a confident trust in God. The first part of regaining our spiritual health is to return to our unwavering faith in Jesus Christ. Yes. Unwavering confidence. As was saying, as was said, as I preach, we need to see God as God, in control, over it all, all powerful. But we also need to see His love for us. That yes, He has all power, He has all control, but He genuinely loves you and me. Amen? With a real love, a real concern. We need to see God's goodness and His faithfulness. He's been good to me. He's been good to you. He's faithful. Amen. We need to live with Him, to confide in Him, to explicitly trust Him in everything because He's trustworthy. We need to realize He's our only hope. He's our family's only hope, our society and our country's only hope. We need to see, but we need to see that He is that hope. That it can change. He can move. It can be different. Amen? Yes. We need to begin with our faith being reaffirmed in God's power, in His knowledge, in His wisdom, in the power of His salvation and individually, in His love for us, His goodness for us, His care for us. Faith's the foundation of our whole Christian life, right? And faith's fundamental to our spiritual health. Without faith, you'll never be spiritually healthy. I see people without faith trying to add on these other virtues. It never works, folks. These things come first on the foundation of a faith and confidence in God. But, having laid the foundation, we do need to add some things to our faith to be able to progress in regaining our spiritual health. Amen? Faith's foundational. It's where we need to start. But we need to give effort to grow, amen, and progress in this Christian life. Too many people get saved and they think that's the end all and beat all. That's just all there is. But it isn't so. It is a life that begins. It's like these little babies. They begin. It's a wonderful thing when they're born. And you have a healthy little baby. That is a marvelous, wonderful thing. But if they just stay in the same condition you brought them home from the hospital, after a few weeks, especially after a few months, you're going to be concerned, right? This ain't good. This ain't right. Well, you thrilled to death with it a few weeks ago. Well, if there is an expectation of growing, of maturing, of progressing. And the same is in our Christian life. There's an expectation. It's a wonderful thing to know the Lord and to come into relationship with Him. But there's an expectation of growth to be able to move on in our Christian walk with Him. Our text this morning tells us that we're to give diligent effort to grow and progress in our Christian life. It says, giving all diligence. That has the idea of making effort. You will not grow spiritually without applying some effort to your life. Amen? And I've seen Christians, I believe they're saved, but man, they are stunted. They're still wallowing and not progressing the way they ought to. We're to grow. Our verse this morning says we are to grow in knowledge, in self-control, in patience, in godliness, in kindness, and brotherly love. We're to give attention and effort to these things. This ought to be part of our life. Just like we give attention, if you want to be healthy, you give attention to what you eat, when you sleep, how you exercise, how you move. I mean, you give attention to those things if you want to be healthy. Well, if you want to be healthy spiritually, we need to give attention and effort to these things. We're to give diligence. Other translation says, make every effort or be eager in pursuit of these graces. Amen? Yes. That's one of the things we've lost, folks, in general, in Christendom in general, is a burning desire to keep progressing in holiness, to keep progressing in our Christian walk, to keep progressing and becoming more like Christ in every area of our life. Amen? If we don't get it automatically, we think we have to start over because we did. No, it's a progressive growth that we continue to add. You know, I look at it this way. Physically, it's not enough just to have a disease cured, right? If somebody comes in, if they got a physical problem, say they have to have a knee replacement, it's not enough just to replace the knee and say good luck, right? There's some diligent effort that goes into regaining use and health, right? Even though the problem's fixed, there's some diligent effort. Spiritually, we need to do those things that help us regain our health and strength and be able to grow. Our passage this morning gives us a list of things. This is not all inclusive. But it's a good, I tell you what, if we accomplish these things, we're doing pretty well. Though, honestly, it tells us in the last verse, you're gonna do well if you accomplish these things. It gives a list of things that we should be actively, vigorously working on to grow to be a healthy Christian. Let's look at it for a minute. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to your knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. First of all, it says, besides this, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue. That ought to be a starting point of adding to our faith, right? Virtue. Virtue is moral excellence. It's one of the first results of true faith is a desire to do good. Do what's right. Amen? Virtue is doing good, doing what's right. It's one of the first results, as I said, of true faith. Amen? First of all, we want to do what's right, what's pleasing in God's life. We want to live a holy life. Amen? We want to avoid evil, but we also want to seek to do good to those around us. If you want to be like Christ, what does it tell us Christ did? He went about doing good, right? I mean, he helped people. He healed people. It isn't just enough to withdraw to ourselves and seek to not do evil. It's both. Adding virtue to our life means that we are avoiding evil, doing what's pleasing in God's sight, but we're also seeking to do good. Amen? This is of utmost importance to our Christian relationship and our relationship with God. Keep your conscience clean. You cannot, listen to me. I know we battle against this because of modern teachings in Christianity, but you cannot maintain your relationship with God and allow things in your life that you know do not please Him. You hear me? You cannot maintain your relationship with God and allow things in your life that you know displease God. I didn't say you didn't get tripped up, especially sometimes it happens, but I'm saying you can't knowingly allow things in your life that you know displease God and keep a relationship with Him. We're also to be a good example before others what the grace of God can do. Individually and collectively, you know what? What the world's looking for, really, is the effect that Christianity has on the world. But really, honest, people want peace. They want people treated equally. They want people's needs taken care of that are poor, that are needy. They want to see equitable treatment, right? What they're asking now, they're going about all the wrong ways. They ain't even got a clue on this, folks. But what people really want is what Christianity is supposed to provide, right? It's the outcome that if everybody did what God would have them to do, they would have the outcome they seek. But they run far away from it. We won't go there right now. You and I should be an example to show people, hey, this is what you're looking for. Collectively, we ought to be a body of believers, a group of people that collectively show how you can get along, how you can treat each other right, how you can take care of each other's needs. Amen? How you can treat each other equally. That ought to be evident in our midst collectively. But it also ought to be evident in our life individually, right? We ought to be the one that you count on that's going to treat people right. We ought to be the one that you count on that'll be equitable, right? We ought to be the one that can be honest, that can be trustworthy in every situation. Amen? That genuinely cares about the people around them. And that's what it said. Add to your faith virtue. This is ought to be the point, the first point of our life, that we're trusting God, we're doing what He wants us to do, but we're actively seeking to avoid sin, to please God, and to do good to those who are around us. Amen? We're to give diligent effort to add virtue in our thoughts, our attitudes, and in what we do and what we say. Amen? We're to strive to be holy in everything. Holy is just doing what is right for the right reasons. 1 Peter 1:15. But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it's written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And besides this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Knowledge goes right along with virtue. Because knowledge is how we know what's good. Knowledge is how we know what's bad. Knowledge is how we know what we ought to be doing. Amen? We need to continue to grow in knowledge our entire Christian life. A knowledge about what's right and wrong. A knowledge about what God is like. Amen? What He's done. What He thinks. A knowledge of how to live life to please God. I thought of Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I see that all over the place today, where people are being destroyed for lack of knowledge within the church. Amen? We can be closer than that within our circles, not just those way off down the road. Lack of knowledge is destroying many today. Moral ignorance abounds. It's in our society. I hear it all the time. It's in our churches, truly.
Yes.
Yeah. Amen? We are to read, to study, to listen, to desire to know more perfectly who God is, to know more perfectly what pleases Him, to know more perfectly how we ought to treat one another, how we ought to interact with one another. Amen? This is an area I think many have grown lax in. Many just no longer desire to know more. They really don't. And this, it's in every area of life, but you know, you may quit when you get out of school learning any more math, but you certainly shouldn't quit learning more about God and what pleases God and how we need to treat one another. Amen? Grow. Add to your faith virtue, add to your faith knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance. Temperance is a proper and limited use of all things. That is keeping things within the bounds set by God's Word. And by extension, temperance is self-control. It means being in control of our passions and desires, not giving vent to our anger and our frustrations, not being controlled by our passions and desires. Amen? It's self-control. Now, self-control really only comes when we submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit. This all works together. When we allow ourselves to be influenced and guided by God's Spirit instead of our own passions, desires, emotions, feelings. Amen? How much this is needed today. Self-control goes right along with virtue and knowledge. Amen? But we are to be tempered by the Holy Spirit so that we don't fly off in pursuit of our passions, whatever that may be. And then we're to add to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience. Everybody wish they had patience, but nobody really wants to exercise it, do they? Oh, I tell you what, these extra lines, I had to renew my license this week. And it takes patience to do some things nowadays. More patience than maybe it used to take. Patience. We're to give diligent effort to add patience. In this passage, patience is, in this usage, is primarily perseverance. But perseverance and patience are closely linked. That's why you see the two words interchange quite a bit in the New Testament. Patience is the enduring of difficulties and opposition without murmuring or seeking revenge. The enduring of difficulties and opposition without murmuring or seeking revenge. It's a calmness in our spirit born out of a confidence of God's love and care for us. We can exercise patience because we are confident of God's love and care for us. Amen? The bearing of provocation, the dictionary definition is the bearing of provocation, annoyance, misfortune, or pain without complaint, loss of temper or anger, the ability or willingness to suppress restlessness or annoyance when confronted with delay. Anybody need that? Everybody need that, right? We all need that. And more our world gets instantaneous. I know, some of you remember when the internet first came out where you could click on a web page and then go fix a cup of coffee and come back because it still wouldn't be loaded. Now if it takes 3 seconds, people smacking their phone or smacking their... we're used to things being instant. Amen? But we need to be careful that we don't allow it to unduly affect our spirit. Amen? The opposite of patience is restlessness and annoyance, not willing to endure or wait. Listen to me. It's only by living patiently that we really live contentedly and at peace. And only when we are contented and at peace do we have true happiness. So unless we exercise ourselves to learn patience, we're never going to be contented, really. We're never really going to be at peace. And we're never really going to be happy. And those, listen to me, those are some of the attributes that are most winsome in a Christian life. Because you can argue with a lot of things people do. But it's hard to argue somebody that's genuinely happy with their life. That's genuinely happy and contented and at peace. Amen? Especially in the time now with everything up in the air and going on and all the disruption. Somebody that can have a continued confidence in God, be at peace because of that, and learn patience. Okay, watch our attitudes and our spirit when we have to wait, endure, or persevere. I need reminded of this almost on a weekly basis, sometimes daily, because there's just all kinds of things that trigger me with the waiting and impatience. But it is one of the ways that we witness the power of God in our life. And one of the ways that we obtain patience is by understanding God's got this. Amen? God's got this. We don't have to stress. Amen? Let's focus on pleasing God. Listen, this week you're going to be confronted with things that need to have you exercise patience. Mark this in your mind. Make a conscious effort to trust God and wait cheerfully. And it'll take a conscious effort. Amen? But that's how patience is built. By exercising it. By learning, hey, I can trust God in this. I can wait through this. Nobody's going to die over this. And if somebody is going to die, then you can't wait, right? So if you're in a situation, sometimes you do have to push ahead. But most of us are irritated because the guy in front of us is driving too slow. The checkout person is not sharp enough to keep the line moving. Somebody wanted to talk to the cashier for 10 minutes instead of moving the line. I mean, these are the things that cause us triggers, right? Make a conscious effort to trust God, do what's best, and wait cheerfully. Let life's experiences build patience, not frustration. You're going to have all the same things happen this week. If you don't exercise patience, you'll become very frustrated, and your anxiety levels and your anger and tension will all be close to the boiling point, right? If you exercise patience, you have the opportunity to push some of that down. Amen? Cheerfully accept delay and fulfillment of desires as being best. You know, there's sometimes you really want something and you want it to happen this week and it don't. Well, cultivate a deep enough confidence and trust in God that we understand God's doing what's best in my life. This may not be a good thing, but God's still at work. Remind yourself of God's leading in your life up until now. You've done a pretty good job if you've listened to Him. Remind yourself of some of your impatient decisions and your impatient responses and how that worked out for you too.
Right.
Amen?
Yep.
Most of us have a lot of room to grow in patience.
Yep.
Both in the endurance of difficulties and in calmness when faced with delay. Add to your faith patience. And to knowledge, temperance, to temperance, patience, to patience, godliness. Godliness is a word we don't use as often. It's a little bit harder to get an exact definition because piety is also a word we don't use very often. But piety, reverence, proper honor and respect all are part of this godliness. It's a submission to and a dependence on God. You know, there used to be a phrase when I was younger, somebody really wanted to elevate your opinion of somebody, they said he's a God-fearing person. They're a God-fearing person, right? I don't hear that much anymore. But it was a great honor to be called a God-fearing person. What does that mean? It means living our life with a continued awareness of God's presence. Amen? It's an attitude. It's a frame of mind that sees God in control, that sees God's presence with us and sees our dependence on God and our submission to Him as God. Amen? Cultivate godliness in your life. It's an attitude that will help you with all the other virtues. And then to godliness, brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness is also translated Christian affection. It's a love for fellow Christians. It has the idea of a familial love. It's a love as in a family. It's a love that has warmth and kindness. Amen? Not rude, not self-seeking, not self-serving, right? Love is patient, kind. Love does not envy and boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. Doesn't rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices at the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. We are to give diligent effort to grow in our Christian love for one another. That is vitally important in the time we are in. That we be a safe haven for one another. That the family of God collectively be a safe haven for one another. We're a family. We need one another. We need you. Amen? We need you as part of the family. Amen? Do your part. Some can't be in the building. Some of you can't be in the building every service. Some can't be right now any of the services. But we have so much advantage over generations before us in the ways we can reach out and encourage one another, let one another know we care about them, praying for them, concerned for them. Pray for one another. That ought to be something that we are doing diligently day by day, is to pray for one another and then communicate that concern one for another. And as we have opportunity, take care of the needs, amen, of one another. And then finally, and to brotherly kindness, charity. Finally, it tells us to add love. This is essential to spiritual life. It's an ongoing battle within us concerning our true love. Amen? Whether it's going to be a love for self that dominates or love for God and others. This love is a love that is a desire for the best for everyone. This love is not, you ain't going to love your enemies with a warm, fuzzy feeling. Believe me. Yeah, that's stupid to even think you could. That's not what this means. A love for everyone is a desire for the best outcome for everyone. Amen? Not having ill will towards others. Amen? We're to hate evil, but we're desired to see people change, be converted, not just destroyed. Amen? That our love for them desires that they change and be different. We hate the evil, but we want to see them change, not just want to see them be destroyed. When we are in as intense a battles as we're in politically, morally, within the fabric of our society today, we are in an intense battle of what our country is going to look like going forward. Or whether there's going to be two countries, frankly. Both very real possibilities. Because some of us ain't going to put up with some of the stuff if it goes that way. But truly, I'm not joking. But we ought to be praying that people's hearts and minds be changed. And that that be our dominant desire, not just to see people destroyed. Do you understand that? Because if you let ill will towards others start building in your heart, it ain't very long, and there's a bitter spirit, there is a nasty spirit that starts spreading to everything and everybody, and everybody becomes enemy pretty quick. Amen? Well, I've seen it happen within churches, within anything. Keep your head and heart clean by maintaining no ill will towards others, but a desire to see the best outcome. The best outcome is that they change, be converted, and become a follower of Jesus Christ. Amen? That ought to be our main desire. And then the final verse 8 says, if these things be in you and abound. Now, if we add these virtues we talked about to our faith, if they be in us and abound, they'll make you, you'll neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we do these things, we promise we're going to be fruitful. We're going to be effective examples of the power of this great salvation to change people. And that's what we need today, right? Excuse me. What we need today is to see people changed by the power of salvation. If you do these things, if you add these things to your faith, you'll be an example of that. If we collectively do that, we'll be an example of a community of people, what God can do with people. And then He can do it on a larger scale. Amen? What life could be like. What it should be like. We'll be spiritually healthy, bearing fruit, living out the effects of salvation in our life. I know these are familiar. I know most of you could probably have quoted that scripture. But I pray God that He helps us to understand it's more than giving assent to it. It's more than saying, yeah, I agree with that. That's good. It's doing it. And actually doing it. Actually making effort to add to our faith. Maintain your faith. I've worked on that pretty hard the last 3 or 4 months. The who God is and what He can do. Maintain your faith. But add to your faith these other spiritual qualities. Knowledge. Virtue. Amen. Patience. Brotherly kindness. Love. Self-control. This ought to be part of our daily prayers. God, help me progress today in these areas. Help me to know more, do more, be more like Christ today. Amen? Amen. May God bless you. I ask you to stand as we close in a verse of song. Heavenly Father,